change the culture, the mindset, the expectation level, and improve the brand of Indiana Hoosier football.
So what?
We're fine. No, I'm still not daunted. I'm still not daunted. A lot of teams lose by to Ohio State by 20. A lot of good teams, a lot of good playoff teams, have lost to Ohio State by 20.
There was a little bit of panic within the fan base.
A little bit.
I, however, remained never daunted. Not one single ounce of daunt. And here's why. And we're going to talk about it a little bit later in the episode because there's not a ton of smoke. We're kind of just diving right into the Ohio State game. Yeah. Actually, there's one thing. Shout out to D'Angelo Pons. I'm switching the vibe. I'm going happy. I'm going happy. D'Angelo Pons and the Pons family giving out Thanksgiving turkeys, I believe, today. So shout out to the Pons family. That was awesome. Spreading good vibes. You know, just making the community better. That's what it's all about. It's what being a Hoosier is all about.
He's also getting my only helmet sticker of the day for his performance against Ohio State. He's, as we already knew, he's the best player on the team. And he showed up on Saturday. Maybe, you know, certain aspect of the team as a whole obviously didn't show up. You know, easily our worst game of the year. First bad game of the year, I would say. You know, just not executing. Things like that. Yeah,
I think obviously a couple of things worked against him there, and I've talked about this a couple of different times, but like, what's the one thing Indiana hasn't had to do much this season?
Play from behind.
Not even that. Punt.
Yeah.
They're bottom 10 in the country in like punt attempts per game in the country, out of any conference. So, like, the fact that they were in an environment that ended up being a little bit more challenging than maybe they anticipated it being, and they then had to rely on special teams, and specifically a unit that hasn't been used all season. It's like, yeah, James Evans has been a really great punter at Indiana for a really long time. It's unfortunate that it was, like, a couple errors that people are going to attribute directly to him, the one, the punt that went right through his hands, but then the like punt return touchdown. It's like, how do you blame the punter for that? But it's like Indiana's punt coverage is their defense, their starting defense. And that's where the roster depth hurt as well. But it's like, yeah, the team didn't, they haven't had to punt. So like, of course, when push came to shove, that was going to be the unit that ultimately let them down.
Yeah, it was pretty simple, like what went wrong for the Hoosiers. Like there were some things that were working in that game that we did really well. It was clear that the biggest, and there are two pretty big things. It was punt team, special teams overall is what I'll say. Clear, you know, fixes need to be made, things need to be cleaned up. Haven't gotten too many in-game reps, but still, like, not really inexcusable. I'm not going to throw any shade or hate at James Evans' way. He's a guy that's a leader on this team, a guy that works very hard, you know, coming from, you know, people that have been in the program. Shout out the Rock Report. I think throwing shade or any hate at James Evans and blaming him for the loss is just not the way to go about it. But yeah, it was very clear that we have some special teams issues that we need to clean up. And then obviously biggest issue, which basically killed us, was the fact that we just couldn't defend we couldn't block the blitz. Just couldn't do it. And it basically stalled our entire offense. We couldn't throw the ball. We were running the ball really well. We just shot ourselves in the foot when it came to, you know, handling those blitz packages that were coming with Jim Knowles. It was something that we probably should have talked about a little bit more. Jim Knowles is probably something we could have previewed a little bit more. I think there's a chance we were looking over, you know, Ohio State's D-line a little bit. I I thought we had the edge in the trenches. We do. I still think we have one of the better O lines in the country, but we just couldn't handle. But when you're sending six,
Well, no, I don't even know if it
and
was
you can't
that.
block, and when they're sending
They,
six, it's just it's meh.
it, a, by with a combination of scheme and crowd noise, they were able to confuse which blitzers the linemen and the running back were picking up. Typically, Indiana's like ridiculously sound in pass pro, especially the running backs. They're stuffing guys all game. And there were a couple instances where when they did identify the correct blitzer, had the correct call on with the line, that the running back stepped up and stuffed the blitzers, and Rourke had time to throw, and we saw the way he was able to operate. But there was a large part of that game, especially in the third and like that middle portion of the game, where the crowd noise just impacted the way they had to communicate across the offensive line. And there was, I mean, every single time it was running back comes to the line, looks around, where's the blitzer? He's coming through the gap that's uncovered. So it was like they were just
Yeah,
confused.
and there was a play where they sent six, and Lawton just went the wrong way. He just straight up,
Yeah, and
he
that ha
went
but that
right, and the
was
guy was coming from the left side, like he just didn't see him.
that ha that happened all game.
And I'm not,
So, I mean, it was
gonna
e
say that we just played bad. I'm gonna take away credit from say they came in and they approached that. They knew what they were facing. They know that Indiana is a playoff team. And that's how they approached the game. They were up 17, 14-7 at half, and they were pumping up the crowd. Like, they were fired up. They did not take this team lightly. And I think part of our preview was kind of assuming, hey, Ohio State, they might be taking us a little lightly. They did not do that. And credit to Ryan Day and their staff for making sure the kids were locked in and, giving us the respect that, we do deserve and, not taking this lightly and letting the kids know, like, hey, this is not the Indiana team you saw last year by any means.
Yeah, well, and also, I mean, let's call a spade, like, it was petty to score at the end there, but, I mean, I'm not gonna sit here or I'll say in the same breath, like, it doesn't really bother me that much. Like, what it tells me is, like, they were listening to all of the noise, and Ryan Day absolutely felt the heat. You could tell it in his pre-game, like, post-game comments. It was very arrogant. It was very, like, puff the chest out. It felt manufactured. It felt like it was like, oh, Signetti's the guy getting all the attention. Like, let me say something to like fire up my guys, fire up my fan base. But that's kind of just not his personality. But you can't tell me he wasn't looking at all the Signetti and his black jacket edits and like feeling that heat a little bit, because they played, especially at the end there, and like Will Howard on the sideline dropping the cigarette and stepping on it. It's just like little
Saying
stupid
Google
things that
that, like,
like,
that's just
yeah,
our, we've been talking to our smack.
that's
When you
their
lose,
right,
like, we'll
man.
take it with grace. Like, talk your shit. You guys
100%.
won the game outright. You guys played a hell of a game, and I think it'd be daunted to start whining about that. And like, yeah, we have been talking. We have a
100%.
very confident coach, and we have to own that. He's gonna say things that are gonna get other teams wild up. At the end of the day, he does win. Google him. We're 10-1. Let's take a step back here. And that and yeah, with that scoring at the end, like, we'll see how that plays out long term in terms of the little Ryan Day Signetti rivalry that's kind of starting to become a thing in the Big Ten. We'll see where that comes about in terms of recruiting and future games that we have with Ohio State. We don't have a scheduled game with them until 2026. I imagine we'll see them before then, whether that's in the Big Ten championship game or the playoffs. I imagine we'll see them at some point, but if we don't face them again until 2026. We get them at home that time. It's gonna be interesting to see how this Signetti Ryan Day rivalry turns out to be, because it's clear that those are probably the two. Obviously, I'm not gonna slight Dan Lanning or James Franklin here, but those are probably the two big dogs in the in, when it comes to coaching in the Big Ten right now. And we'll throw Dan Lanning in that list too, but. And James, the top four teams are the four best coaches in the conference. Go figure. And yeah, it'll be interesting to see how that plays out in the future, because I know for a fact Signetti did not take that lightly. Them posting the Google it, we won, like, totally deserved on our end for sure. But obviously he's going to take a slight to it, and then now it's just kind of going to be a fun little back and forth, the Indiana Ohio State rivalry, getting some wheels to it. Obviously, it's very
Yeah, when
one-sided at
the
this point. Us losing 29, 30 straight now. It's but yeah, we'll get there. And
Well, no. And to that, to your point there of like, yeah, Indiana's lost like 29 or 30 straight. Like, by the way, Ohio State reacted in game, pregame, postgame, like on Twitter, still acting, still talking. Like, you would have thought Indiana had won 50 straight. Like, the level of like real fear that this fan base had in losing to, in the way they built up this Indiana team, it was almost like, holy shit, I can't believe we were so worried. But it's like, to what we were saying before we hopped on the pod, like, this program in Indiana I'm talking about is 3 to 4 years ahead of schedule. Like, they are not supposed to be here right now. I mean, that's not to say they didn't have talent on this team and they weren't capable of winning games, but it's like, when you look at a first-year head coach taking over a program, especially a program where Indiana was, like, this is, we're talking 7 and 5, 8 and 4 would be successful in the first year. Like, if we could sniff 9 wins, yeah. Like, they're at 10 wins, gonna smoke Purdue next week, not to step on that preview, to go to 11 wins, and they're gonna get a chance to play in a playoff game for the 12th win of the season. Like,
ahead.
Yeah, they lost to Ohio State. Like, big whoop. A lot of teams lose to Ohio State. Yeah. Like, we'll move forward, we'll be better, and Like, this is Indiana Hoosier football. Like, we're just going to keep rolling.
Yeah, we're just going to build off it, learn from our mistakes, and just keep the process going. The process doesn't change. It's continue to be fast, physical, relentless, clean up stuff on film, come up with good game plans. Got to fix the pass pro in the crowd because, you know, those playoff games are going to be loud as well. So figuring out the communication there. And then, you know, cleaning up the special teams with remind me who our special teams coordinator is, tight end coach –
Grant Kane.
Yeah, Grant Kane, you know, gotta, we'll own it and, you know, go clean things up, Grant. And yeah, and, like, well, and to also, your point, like we are three, like the heartbreak in a rebuild of Indiana's magnitude, like the heartbreak loss to Ohio State shouldn't be coming until like year 3 or 4. You know what I mean? Like that, and the fact that we felt that way coming off of a game, like that was after the punt return, like it was really, I was just so quiet watching the rest of that thing. Like, I was just watching. I was just taking it in. I don't think I said a word after the punt return until the end of the game. It was, you know, it was tough to watch. And, you know, these things happen. Like, you, good top 10 teams lose to other top 10 teams by 20 all the time. And if you're listening to this pod and you hear, you're getting frustrated with, you know, dumb, low IQ SEC folks saying that, oh, they got absolutely plastered. Like, these things happen all the time. You saw, it was only, you know, 3 years ago, we saw a TCU team that beat a Michigan team that won the championship the next year lose by 50-plus points in the national title game. Like, this is, these things happen, you know, and it wasn't, you know, the slacking wasn't as big as what people are going to make it out to be because Indiana really did shoot themselves in the foot. And when you have a talent gap like that, which it is, there is a talent gap, like, call a spade, like, there's a talent gap. There just is. $20 million roster versus year one rebuild. Like, there just is. I know we have plenty of NFL talent on the team. Hopefully a lot of those guys maybe come back and try to run it back next year. We'll see. That's a tale for another time. But, you know, we're coming, and it's clear that, we're probably a few years away from Ohio, maybe a year away from knocking off Ohio State. So, in terms of the rapid rate in which we are growing as a program, like, usually I'd say we're 2 or 3 years away from Ohio State. I'm going to put it at 1 to 2. We're closer. We're getting there. Shoot ourselves. We don't make any mistakes. Probably only lose that game by a score. End of the day, you know, and the road environment, probably the difference in that game and the talent gap. And, you know, and we were wrong, and I'll own that. You know, I probably underestimated. I said Michigan's defense is better than Ohio State. Their defense looks really damn good, and that team, if they keep playing the way they are, Will Howard also played amazing. If they play like that, that team's going to win the national title.
Yeah, I think I would agree with that. I know Oregon's good. Oregon had the benefit of the home crowd last time they played. They won't have that benefit again if they meet again. Well, they're going to meet again in the Big Ten championship game. So we're going to see it on a neutral field and see what happens. That's going to be exciting as a game in itself. But I'm also not going to sit here and tell you that it, like, yes, Indiana shot itself in the foot, made a ton of mistakes. If Indiana plays a perfect game, like, they can absolutely hang in these games with these top teams. Like, there's, it doesn't get better than Ohio State. Like, yeah, you can set, you, like, argue that Oregon, Ohio State, same level, whatever. It's like, you're like, teams don't get better
Ohio
than
State's
that.
Ohio State's
better
than Oregon. I'll just say it. Like, slightly. It's not a big gap, but they are. They lost by 1 point on the road. Like, it's road environments matter.
Well, you can't say the team's better when they literally play.
I know.
Like,
I know. I'm just saying, I think if they played again, which they probably will in the Big Ten Championship game, I'm throwing my bank account at Ohio State. My opinion. Could be wrong. I'm wrong all the time. I'm also right all the time.
So you could also look at it like there was a couple calls that didn't go Indiana's way that swung momentum. They lost the turnover battle. They lost the special teams battle. And you could argue that they were still kind of, like, in the game. I know it wasn't, like, a really close game, but, like...
Should have been 7-7 going into, like, halftime.
Mm-hmm.
We don't get the ball back. Ohio State doesn't score on their first possession. They don't score until we get our ball back, and then we punted, and then they scored, and that's when, really, the floodgates. You know, that's really when the game shifted.
Yeah, but you don't know how the momentum swings, how the pressure mounts. Maybe we break a run. Like, maybe, like, you know, you never know what happens. So, like, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that, like, Indiana can't hang with the upper echelon of the of college football because, like, if that's the, what's going to happen when you play poorly on the road against a top two team and you were basically in the game, it took, like, a petty garbage time. We're not going to use our timeouts, so we'll sneak a score in there, a touchdown to – make it look worse than it really was. It's like, yeah, one, that tells me Ohio State was truly worried about us, which is exciting. And two, like, Indiana can hang with these teams. They absolutely can. And I think that is reflected in the coaches' poll. Like, yeah, they fell to 10, but they didn't fall out of the playoff.
Exactly. And if you were to tell me that Indiana would muff a punt and result in, you know, muff a punt, give up a punt return touchdown, and Rourke throws for less than 100 yards, and we only lost by 23, I would have been like, how? You know what I mean? Like, in years past. I think that shows
And that last touchdown was with 6 seconds left because we didn't use timeouts. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it's like, you can even take that score out of it. So it's like, it was a two-score game on the road, outgunned, outmanned.
Shooting ourselves,
like,
in the foot.
Indiana is only going to get better. It's like, how does Ohio State get better? So it's like, if that's what you're chasing, like, you're not that far away.
We're not that far away at all. And that's
not insulting to Ohio State. Like, they're as you, it's like, how do you get better as a at, than like good, like that good at every position? So it's like, it's more so of like, there's the standard, now go chase it, because they're not far off, but they are far.
Yeah, they're not there yet, but they're not far off, and they could totally hang with.
Exactly.
I think they could
win
a playoff game after watching that game.
Yes, they can win a playoff game.
Maybe another one. Who knows?
Absolutely. Right? Dude, they could. If that game's at a neutral site and they score early, like, what happens? Like, if the Hoosiers travel well. Like, and that was one of the a huge takeaway. Actually, I talked to my freshman year roommate, my buddy Frank, and he was telling me, because he was boots on the ground, he was super, super impressed with how the Hoosiers traveled. He said it was louder at that game for Indiana than any home game he's ever been to.
That's surprising.
So, like, if you're going to put us or give us a home game for a playoff and we're going to knock off one of these three loss fraud SEC teams, and then we're going to get to go play with momentum in on a neutral site against one of these behemoths, like, we're going to travel well. Like, we have a, like, people don't equate the Indiana alumni base with the football team because of the lack of success, but, like, this is a fan base that travels extremely well, and it's not a fan base that lacks the ability to get there.
100%. That's why, like, I'm excited. Like,
it could be a 50-50, 60-40 for Indiana in terms of, like, crowd volume that, like, people, like, teams aren't even, like, aren't going to be ready for, because they're not going to expect it. They'll be like, oh, we can wait to buy our tickets. It's not even going to matter. And by the time they blink, they're all going to be bought.
100%. I don't know if to that extent, like, if we play an SEC team, like, they're gonna buy their tickets quickly. You know, they are psychos right over there. But, like, we're at that level when it comes to a fan base. And we've said that time and time again. We're a Big Ten fan base. Like, Don't slide it.
Any closing thoughts on Ohio State?
Closing thoughts. It would have been Rourke only struggled because, you know, he's run for his life the whole game and really showed some good things on that last scoring drive when, you know, got a little more creative. Wish, though, those adjustments were made sooner. Obviously, you know, it's on Mike Shanahan.
Yeah, it is. Like that. It is a little weird that, like, it took essentially four whole quarters for them to start running Rourke on the read option. Yeah.
And to start, you know, rolling him out a little bit. Obviously, you know, Jim Knowles kind of dialed it back, was like playing a little more prevent type schemes. And
100%. The vibe changed. The crowd even wasn't as into it because the game was kind of out of hand. But still, no, they executed. And the thing is, they like, and I tweeted this in the like at the start of the fourth quarter, like they were going to, like they were just going to stick in it till the end. Like they weren't going to roll over and quit. And they didn't. To their credit, they battled and hung in there until the end.
I didn't roll over and quit. You know, I was just watching, hoping maybe we get a score in the third quarter. Just didn't happen. Just didn't happen. And these things just happen in college football. And you know, these are things that we gotta get used to it. And we gotta like not get daunted as a fan base when these things do happen. And it really
is. Yeah, no more slips yesterday.
That was, you know. Obviously, there's that self-doubt, and we have all this PTSD when it comes to Indiana football. And that's where a lot of that comes from, and that's fair. But, you know, we're here now, and this is the Cignetti era. There's no reason to, you know, feel daunted when we lose to a top two team by 20 points. Because that happens when you're good, when you're bad. Like, it happens all the time. It's not, people lose by 20 in the championship game. People lose by 20 in the semifinals. Like it's.
I think we've long established it's more than okay to lose by 20. Yeah. I saw a lot of people fraud, like
whatever that means, because people seem to not understand what that word means.
I saw a lot of people like blame the coaches, blame James Evans, blame the. You know, blame who? It's like I think really, it's just at the end of the day, they played a bad game against a better team, and you don't win.
They lost. Yeah, they just lost the game. Like
it happens.
Fucking happens, man. And yeah, I was really disappointed about how daunted the IU fan base was, because I'm not trying to toot my own horn here, but like let's get a grip, guys. Like that's. That's not going to panic mode at 10-1. Yeah, no.
Well, no. I think a lot of that also had to do with like there are like lots and lots of talk about us like potentially getting screwed and for like three lost SEC teams and strength of schedule, which like obviously completely flipped on its head after they played Ohio State. Like, oh my god, like what happened to the strength schedule? Like, yeah, it got better when they played a better team. Like, shocker. But then you look at it to the night. Their afternoon and night that the SEC had at a conference, and it was like everybody just kind of like exhaled a little bit as a fan base, like, yeah, maybe we did overreact a little bit. But it's like, yeah, I think a lot of that is PTSD, and a lot of that was like media driven, like almost like, holy shit, I can't believe they're gonna take this from us, when like I don't think that's the case.
If there's anything clear from Saturday, is that we're in, because we didn't lose by 40 and more SEC teams lost. So it's like the only way we would have been left out is that like obviously we got dominated in that game, you know, in a lot of facets, but like we were able to run the ball on them. We were stopping the run. Like the run game was in our control. It was really the outside edges where we lost, and what we weren't able to throw the ball because, you know, Rourke had no time. I'm convinced that we're a playoff team. Like that did it for me. Like as crazy as that sounds, like it's everything's fine. Let's take a deep breath and get ready for Purdue and get ready for the playoff after that. Because it might be nice to, you know, have a little bit more, not have to prepare for a Big Ten game. We can kind of start looking at, hey, okay, who's going to be potentially who we're matched up against in the playoff, and we can start preparing for those teams slightly and coming up with early game plans for all of them, and then go a little deeper once we figure out what the field looks like. Because that's where we're at. We're in. Like, we are in. Like, if we're not, like, I'm literally going to I might burn down the NCAA. Or where's the CFP? Like, what would I need to do that's pretty radical to
What do we
send a
need to
message?
Jan?
Like,
What do we need to January
yeah, where do I
6th?
send the burning, Ford truck? Where do I send that? Like, I don't, what mayhem can I cause if they do knock us out of the playoffs
No, I think
somehow?
as long as they don't, it's really as long as they just put it on Purdue next week, which I think we're all expecting they do. Again, not to step on that preview and take the bucket back to Bloomington, then I don't think there's any doubt they're easily, which and whichever wherever they end up being seated, and honestly, I don't really care. I prefer a home playoff game,
Yeah.
obviously.
Obviously.
Because obviously the bye is out of the question. But even listen, even if they have to go on the road somewhere and go some into a tough environment, like you sign up to play tough football games.
Yeah, and the whole narrative around like, oh, like Indiana hasn't played anyone. Like, wasn't that the whole point of starting the 12-team playoff to have like that 1-11 team that, people were saying, hey, they haven't really played anyone. Should they not be in? Like, wasn't the whole point to like give them a shot? Like, wasn't that the whole idea around the undefeated group of five team? Like, give them a shot, like at least let them play for it, rather than just like throwing them in a New Year's Six Bowl and not put them in the playoff. Wasn't that the whole idea around 12 teams? I think, people were getting lost that was the whole idea around it, and that, like, they're letting the SEC fans get in their head that, like, where SEC fans obviously thought like, oh, 12 team playoff, that means we're gonna get like six or seven SEC teams in. That's not the case. No. We're expanding the field to give, teams that win 10 wins a shot at the championship.
Yeah, if the SEC has enough teams that like deserve it, then yeah, by all means. Like if you have that one year where like Bama was sick and LSU was sick and like Florida was sick and like when there's like a bunch of teams that really deserve it, like yes. Like the Big Ten this year, you could argue four really strong teams. And then like I would argue probably Illinois is a stronger three-loss resume than some of these SEC teams.
100%. They beat a Kansas team that's kind of running through the Big 12 right now. They have some good quality wins with Michigan and think where they dominated. I'm not pulling for Illinois to make a playoff. That's not what I'm saying by any means. But it's just like we want to actually compare resumes. Like compare
Yeah, if we're
Bama and
talking three
Illinois.
loss
Like
teams,
compare them.
like if we're talking three loss teams like Colorado, like
Stop it. Big 12.
just toss them in. No, that's what I'm saying. If we're just gonna Mickey Mouse the championship and just pick the most fun teams, like throw Colorado in
Like, I
there.
get where I'm going to sound like an SEC fan here, but there is a big gap between Big 10 and SEC ball and ACC and Big 12 football. There just is. And but the what pisses me off is that SEC fans think that there's a big gap between the Big 10 and the SEC, and that's just not the case.
Nope.
Yeah, I saw a funny thing about like how like the Pac-12, I recently tweeted out in response to this, but like the SEC fans complaining, like seeing the Pac-12 eat themselves year after year after year because they have been like consistently the deepest conference. There's zero bottom feeders in that old Pac-12 year in and year out. Like every team has good teams every once in a while and create some mayhem. And then the SEC starting to see it in their own conference. And now it's like they changed their whole narrative. Well, like before, they're like, oh, the Pac-12, oh, that's just happening because they have no good teams. And now it's happening in the SEC. And they're like, oh, well, what about like, I mean, Vanderbilt and Kentucky, like they're really good. Like, you can't just switch the narrative like that. Like, it's
Powerhouses like Vandy.
and Kentucky, like, where was this action when like a, I don't know, what's an
I
example?
like
Like
when people try and
a
lump
scrappy
Arkansas.
Oregon State team, causes mayhem and beats USC, or like, Cal, knocks off, I don't know, and then Utah gives UCLA a good UCLA team their extra loss and knocks them out of contention for like a championship. Like it, when you
I
have
like
deep
how
conferences,
we
these
hopped
things
on this
happen, but at the end
call.
of the day, you got to win your games. You got to win. That's why we have this 12 team playoff, so like your 10-2 team that dropped a couple to a deep conference can get in. Now, if you lose three, you can't play. You can't expect to play 75% ball and get in. Maybe in a unique case you can get in, but like you got to win 10 regular season games to be considered for this for the playoff. End of the day, period.
I don't necessarily think that's true. I think it's all circumstantial, and I think that's like part of the issue that we're gonna run into is it's all eye test, and it's all gonna be like he said, she said, who's making the argument, like whose case is strongest. Like there are gonna be some cut and dry cases. I think Indiana, when you start to look at the field, when the dust settles and you stop listening to all the outside noise, is one of those clear cut and dry cases. I'm not saying, again, that they're a top four, top five team in that seeding, but they clearly belong inside that top 12 somewhere. And so I'm really not that worried about it.
The reality is that, you know, 11-1 power four teams should be in. The issue, Big 12 and ACC especially, don't have too many of those teams. The Big 10 has four teams that are 11-1 that are going to be 11-1 plus. SEC is going to have two or three. We'll see after Texas A&M this weekend.
No, the Big Ten can only have – the Big Ten will either have three or four, but they can't have more than that.
I'm talking 11-1 in the regular season. I don't think conference championships losses should count against you. If you have 11 and wins coming out of the regular season, you're in.
Kiffin's comments were just weird when he was like, yeah, people don't want to play for the conference championship because they're worried about losing.
No, if you're a top two team in your conference,
that's not how it works. If you're
a top two team in your conference, you're probably in, especially in the SEC and the Big Ten.
Especially in the SEC. Yeah, that's so dumb. If you're gonna say our conference is clearly the best and then devalue yourself by saying nobody wants to play in our conference championship because they're afraid of losing, it's like,
I thought you guys...
then your conference isn't that strong. Yeah. Because that should just validate you being a good team just by making it through that quote unquote gauntlet. Yeah,
exactly. Exactly. You couldn't have said it. I couldn't have said it better myself. Beautiful.
So I think that wraps up Ohio State for us. Yeah.
And then that's going to, you know, start leading us into, you know, what happened this weekend. I think, you know, with, you know, us coming, wrapping up this season, you know, we're going into rivalry week, and then we got conference championship week. It's really time to start talking about, you know, what's going on and where are people staying. But we kind of just got to recap. There's a dog.
All things considered, even though Indiana lost, despite Indiana's loss, this weekend almost couldn't have gone better for the Hoosiers. Like, take the loss out of it. Hey, everything fell Indiana's way.
100%. 100%. I kind of want to go through the Big Ten first, and then we can kind of talk about the national and playoff picture, stuff like that.
Yeah, do your thing. Yeah. Do your thing.
But, yeah, I agree. It did really go Indiana's way, especially in the fact that, like, Penn State won. I don't know if that was, like, I guess that doesn't necessarily, like, effect.
No, that didn't help. That one probably didn't help.
I don't. Yeah, but you
didn't help their chance to host a playoff game.
Let me put my, you know, meat riding Big Ten hat on. I want the Big Ten to stay strong. Jesus. I want the Big Ten to stay strong. I want us to have, you know, 4-11-1 plus teams.
Well, okay, but wouldn't Minnesota? Well, they played Minnesota, right?
Who?
Penn State.
Yeah, they played Minnesota in a scrappy game. Minnesota, damn good team. Damn good team.
So wouldn't it actually improve the Big Ten's strength as a conference if Minnesota beat Penn State? That would mean that maybe not strength in terms of, like, making the playoff, but, like, strength in terms of, like, the depth of the conference is strong.
But then that kind of goes into, like, what's happening with the SEC and things like that. But, like, I guess, results do have to matter. But, like, at the end of the day, the result was a one-point loss to a top-five team. That was the result. And, yeah, I watch Minnesota. I watch Big Ten. I watch SEC. Minnesota's a damn good team. They're a lot better than what 6-5 would reflect. They play in the Big Ten. You know, that's just what happens. You know, good teams go 6-5. That's why making a bowl game is a big feat, you know? And I think people forget that. They think it's all about, you know, going 10 wins every year. When in reality, like, you play in the Big Ten and the SEC, like, 6 wins? Like, I guess not in the SEC because you only got to win 2 conference games. But, you know, you go 6 wins in the Big Ten, pretty difficult.
Who Georgia play this week?
They played UMass. And they allowed 21 points.
Gave up like 300 total
UMass
yards.
UMass didn't score 21 points on Northern Illinois and a couple other MAC schools. And they were able to score three touchdowns in Athens.
Well, Northern Illinois has got a top five win.
Should Northern Illinois be in? Because their wins over UMass and Notre Dame.
Could they be the 12th team?
Well, we'll see. I don't even know how they're doing in the MAC. I don't think they're going to make – I don't even know if they're in the MAC championship.
What if there was a group of five play-in?
That would kind of be – that would be kind of fun, but it'd kind of be a waste of time, honestly.
Imagine if a group of five playing team made a deep run.
Like the MAC
is playing like 20 something
MAC champion.
20 something games of football. 20 something football games.
Yeah, I guess that's kind of a, you know, back to the Penn State Minnesota thing, like I don't know. I feel like the results do reflect Minnesota being good.
No,
I'm not saying they should make the playoff, but they're a good team. Like someone, there has to be
scrappy,
a winner and
well
a loser.
Prepared.
There has to be a winner, and there has to be a loser.
Yes, but it's like you can be talented but not good. Like you're only as good as your record says, and they're a very average team. It's like they can hang, but they're not finishing any of these teams off. They're just in really good games.
And they were home for that game, and that's a big reason why they were probably in it. And that's the nature of college football. The fact is what makes the Big Ten better, or at least the teams that are going to make the playoffs better than those SEC teams, is that they don't lose that game to Minnesota. The SEC teams have been losing that game to their Minnesotas and their Iowas and their Michigans and their Washingtons. That's the difference. That's why the Big Ten is going to get more teams in, because at the top, we're taking care of business. Week in and week out.
Taking care of business.
Yeah, literally.
Every day.
Yeah, and then just kind of recap everything that happened over the weekend. Michigan State was able to get a close win over Purdue. Ryan Walters' defense, I guess, showed up a little bit. Maybe it's the youth of Michigan State. I didn't really watch that game. I was traveling. But that was the result. Michigan State, one win away from being bowl eligible. And first year with Jonathan Smith, they take on Penn State next week. So we'll see what happens there. And that's, you know, we talked about how the bye for Indiana is out of the picture. It's actually not. With a Michigan win and a Michigan State win next week, Indiana will be playing Oregon in the Big Ten title game.
Ooh.
That is a fact. Indiana is not out of it. So that's something to look forward to. You know, we'll see. Michigan State, frisky. Another frisky team. We'll see if they're able to pull it off. I think it's on the road, though. So not looking too great. We'll preview that game later. Illinois wins an absolute thriller in Piscataway. See, that the magical season of Illinois continues. They're now 8-3. That game was hilarious.
Pushing for a playoff spot.
That game was – did you know how that game finished? So, it was they're setting up for a 58-yard field goal. Greg Schiano calls a timeout to ice the kicker. Illinois then throws their offense out there because they have actually a few seconds remaining. The problem was that's 4th-and-13. But they had enough time for a couple plays. So they just went for it. You know, 58-yarder or 4th-and-13. Honestly, I like the 4th-and-13 call, especially when the team gives you a timeout. I love that move from Brett Bielema. And then, yeah, 4th-and-13, they throw it, you know, 20 yards down the field. The receiver catches it and is able to just run into the end zone. No one tackles him. I think it was a 40-yard touchdown to win the game. Unbelievable. Magical season for Illinois. We were talking before this pod. Citrus Bowl for Illinois. Congrats to them.
They're pushing for they're pushing for a playoff spot. I'm starting the agenda right now, actually. I flipped my two. Remember how I said I'm not pushing for Illinois to get a playoff spot? I don't know if I said it, but I was shaking my head no as you said it. Like, yeah, I'm agreeing with you. No way. No, I'm actually pushing for it. Like, Illinois, that's a playoff team. You want to talk about these three-loss SEC teams? Like, let me tell you about three-loss Illinois. Going into Piscataway. Kansas. Pulling off victories. They beat Kansas.
That's the best 4-6 team of all time.
They beat Nebraska. They beat Nebraska.
And Michigan.
And Michigan.
Yeah, I don't hate it. But yeah, congrats to Illinois on clinching the Citrus Bowl. I'm
5 Big Ten teams in. Oh, and Iowa.
Enjoy
6.
Florida. Enjoy Florida. Get out of Champaign. Get out of Illinois. Get out of Rockford, Illinois. Head on down to the Citrus Bowl, the Cheez-It Citrus Bowl. I cannot wait to see what SEC team they face, because they've had a great season. We know Alt Meyer's a gamer. I would love to see that Illinois team beat an SEC team in that Citrus Bowl. That would be awesome.
Illinois versus Ole Miss.
Alabama.
Bama's going to be in the playoffs, bro.
No, we'll see. We'll see. We'll talk about the playoff picture later. Yes, they're on the bubble. We'll see. We'll see. Iowa.
You look me in the eyes and you tell me they're going to leave out 3-loss Indiana or Alabama.
They could. Depending on how it goes. Now, I'll explain it later. I'll explain. I mean, yeah, I mean, knowing the CFP and the SEC and ESPN are all in bed together, I know, like, it seems really crazy, but, like, you look me in the eye.
Would
you
it be
look
unfortunate?
Me in the eye and tell me,
well, here,
and
let me ask you another
Alabama
question.
Win over Auburn. You look me in the eye and guarantee that.
Let me answer that with a question. You think ESPN's going to be chill with the SEC only getting 2 teams in after the amount of money they just paid for the playoff contract and the SEC contract?
They're already a lock for 3, basically, in my mind. They have
at
they
least
have
they'll probably have
Georgia,
4.
Tennessee are in, and then the winner of Texas A&M and Texas are in. The winner of that game, because if you make the SEC title game, you're in. So it really just comes down to, are they going to bring in, you know, 2-loss Texas? Or,
well, I would say Texas. I think Texas is a lock.
Yeah, because if they lose their 2-loss SEC team, they'll be in. I agree. You swung me over. I was before the pod started. I had Texas on the bubble. Texas is in. So we'll break down the playoff picture with that later. Iowa beats Maryland on the road. Maryland's out of the bowl contention, and we knew that. They're one of the bottom barrel teams in the Big Ten. Iowa takes care of business.
You're telling me Maryland's not sneaking in at 12?
They're not. No, they're not.
Ah.
Neither is Northwestern. They let Michigan score 50. Davis Warren.
Oh dear.
Yeah, Michigan put up 50-6. Mullings, 3 touchdowns. Davis Warren, 195 yards and a touchdown. They're dicing them up.
This is why you can't do football math.
And then in the official no touch game of the week, where no one knew what was going to happen, because you can't really put money on Nebraska to clinch bowl eligibility, and you can't put money on Wisconsin. Period.
Fact.
Nebraska takes care of business at home and takes down Wisconsin to bring. We previewed Nebraska and their whole history. They make their first bowl game in, what, 8 years now? Good for them.
Good for the Huskers.
Yeah, we'll see what SEC team they play and what bowl draw they get, and it'll be fun.
Who would be fun for Matt Rhule and the Huskers?
I would love for them to kind of smack around Missouri. I think that would be hilarious, personally.
That would be hilarious. There's no way they'd get matched up with Missouri, though. Missouri's – that's another team that might be a playoff team.
Shut up. Stop it.
Yeah, dude, they're going to have 6 or 7. It's going to be disgusting.
I can't tell if you're serious or not, because you're starting to piss me off.
I'm being dead serious.
You think 6 SEC teams are still going to make it, even though we just talked about how everything went Indiana's way this weekend?
No, I think Indiana's safe. That doesn't mean they're not going to still
12 spots.
Oblige the SEC.
There's only 12 spots.
Yes.
4 of those are taken up by Big Ten teams.
Yeah.
And then there's four other conference champions. So at best, they can get five. At best. At best. They're not getting six. At best, SEC gets in five, which they might. We'll talk about it later. And then in...
They might. It probably
in
will.
A drizzling day, drizzling cold day in Southern California. And speaking of Southern California, don't forget to order your very own pack of SoCal hot sauce from SoCalHotSauce.com. That's SoCalHotSauce.com. No spaces, obviously, in any, you know, website. There's no spaces, so, you know, you got it.
That's good. I like that you noted that one, there, Brad, because I think people, a lot of people are going to
no,
be confused.
No, because we have a lot of SEC listeners, so you got to let them know.
Oh, my God. All right, keep going.
Yeah, and then, yeah, so, you know, get for free shipping, make sure, you know, get at least the four pack. You know, don't buy three bottles. You're going to pay for shipping. So anything above a four pack, you know, you can get the case. You get free shipping and then 10% off any order when you use the promo code SIGSINSIDE. That is two words, SIGSINSIDE. And, yeah, order your, you know, four pack. I would, you know, if it were me, I'd probably go four pack of just straight hot avocado, maybe. I don't know. I love that. I put out my salmon the other day. It was so good. I'm still not over it.
Brad's been getting crazy.
Yeah,
with
no,
it.
They need to hook me up with more over there at SoCalHotSauce.com. I need more.
Well, you can hook yourself up if you use that promo code, SIGS inside. Two words, SIGS inside.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah. I'd kind of be making the money back anyway. Yeah. Okay, that would work. All right. That would work. But yeah, use promo code SIGS inside to get 10% off any order, free shipping, anything above a four pack. And yeah, my personal favorite, hot avocado, but they have three other really good flavors, original. They have hot red and original avocado, which are also all very good. The hot is hot though, I will say. The hot is hot. The hot red, it's hot. Hot avocado is more my speed, personally. I've always been a Verde guy anyway, so it's kind of how I roll.
SoCal Hot Sauce.
SoCalHotSauce.com. And yeah, the SoCalHotSauce.com presents the Crosstown Rivalry Showdown. I was at that game. USC got the last minute dub over UCLA 19-13, derailing UCLA's bowl hopes, which they're kind of making a push for. And yeah, I kind of want to talk about that game a little bit. USC, having watched that game in person, I can give my really good synopsis of what is going on with those two programs right now. USC found their quarterback, Jaden Maiava. He looked fantastic. He looks a lot like Caleb Williams out there. He was very impressive in that game. And so was Ethan Garbers. Ethan Garbers, for the love of God, couldn't – the A-gap blitzes were killing him. He has no help out there. And that once UCLA figures that out of line, those defenses playing the way they did, that was an old-fashioned Big Ten slugfest the whole game. And those teams, you know, USC found their quarterback, Lincoln Riley, stopping a bozo in the red zone and throwing fades. I think he threw four straight fade plays and they weren't able to convert. They had to keep on settling for field goals in that game. That game could have been a lot worse. But UCLA's defense was kind of holding strong. But yeah, USC found the quarterback. And once UCLA gets an O-line to keep their quarterback clean, like poor Ethan Garber's back there having to deal with that all year. Like I said, I was right before that beginning of the year. I was telling you how Chase Garbers was a top half quarterback in the league. He's proven that time and time again. He, despite all that, threw for 265 yards and a touchdown, beside all that going on. So once, you know, UCLA figures out their...
No, yeah. Hold on. Top half quarterback in the league. Can we do this right
yeah.
now?
Yeah, let's do it.
He's not better than Rourke.
Okay. Let's try to name eight quarterbacks better than Chase Garbers right now. Rourke.
He's
Dylan Gabriel.
Gabriel.
Will Howard. Drew Aller, sure.
Howard. Sure. I don't know if I was gonna go Aller. Altmaier?
Sure, I'll accept it.
Raiola.
This right now. Garbage was looking like Mahomes himself a little bit out there. I'll be honest. Like,
May I have
if my Ava, sure. Where are we at? Seven?
Yeah, I'm
there's
trying
not
to think.
There, you can't aim another
one.
Right now. You can't. And Raiola's like, I'm not even willing
who's,
to accept
who's,
that.
Who's Minnesota's quarterback?
Give me Garbers. Give me Garbers in that scheme. You put Garbers on Minnesota, they win that Penn State game. I promise
give
you.
Give me Jack Lausch.
No. God, no. No. Stop it.
Billy. I'm taking... I can't take Chiles over him.
You can't. Not now. That's why I can't take Raiola either, because, like, Garbers is a four-year guy. I'm taking Garbers. Garbers isn't... He had the pick problem early on, but that really settled down the stretch.
Oh, what's his face on Washington? Will Johnson?
Will Rogers?
Yeah, that guy.
Okay,
no, he got benched.
If we,
they
if
went
we
to the
do
backup.
Include Raiola, that puts us at eight. That puts him at nine, top half quarterback.
Yeah, no, what about the backup for Washington? He's
a
stud,
too.
I'll take
over him. What are you talking about? Garbage is better runner than him. He has more 50-yard rushing plays than that guy on Washington. Best dual threat in the league.
Deacon Washington's played like six games. Yeah.
I just like Garbers. He's an absolute gamer. Can't wait to see what pro team he ends up with. He's going to get an undrafted job. He's going to be in training camp, I promise you. I promise you.
That is the SoCal Hot Sauce Crosstown Rivalry.
The SoCal Hot Sauce Game of the Week.
Yeah, the SoCal Hot Sauce Game of the Week presented by SoCal Hot Sauce. Yeah.
That's it, yeah. But, yeah, I'd say those are two teams trending up, especially with how good their defenses are playing. And, obviously, they have two – each team has really good offensive minds, you know, backing them up with Riley and Bieniemy. You know, they'll start acclimating to the Big Ten, and they'll be trending up. Yeah, that's about it in the Big Ten. Yeah.
I feel like I'm forgetting a quarterback.
You're not. You're not. I'm just telling you. You're just not.
Do you want to talk about what happened with the Southeastern Conference?
Yeah, I think it's time. It's time.
Let's rip the Band-Aid for him. Yeah.
It's, well, first, I mean, RIP Army. First off. Real quick.
No, I mean, I do have to say, it was a little like...
You knew it was coming.
Watching Notre Dame's... No, you knew it was coming. Watching Notre Dame score and then, like, celebrate all over Army was like, come on, guys. You can just do, like, the high fives and go to the sideline just for this, just for that game. Just for that one.
The team that's made up of completely, you know, two-star at best recruits. You know, they're going to...
Servicemen,
yeah, literally.
Their linemen can't get over like 220 or whatever that rule is, and
320, I think.
They're just out there trying their hardest, like using the power of friendship.
Literally. But yeah, onto the SEC. Oklahoma absolutely dominated Alabama at home this week.
What did they do? Oh, they beat Alabama. Oh, tell me more, Brad.
Yeah. Alabama came in as a 7th-ranked, 2-loss SEC team, and they drop a game to an Oklahoma team that is, I don't know if you can defend them as being good. Obviously, their defense really showed up in that game, and they played amazing, but you know, you'd expect a playoff team to kind of overcome that, despite how good the 5-5 defense is. You know, they can't move the ball. You know, like their defense is on the field basically the whole game. You'd expect Alabama to at least be able to score a touchdown, being a playoff team that a lot of people, like my co-hosts here, like to think they are. That's a bad loss, and there's really no other way around it. Oklahoma, clear bad down year. They lost to Texas by 40 this year, didn't they? Like, that's a bad team. That's a bad Oklahoma team.
I'm not gonna defend the loss. I will defend the fact that they're not gonna leave the Alabama brand out for
Oklahoma lost to Missouri, dude.
This year. Really. But I'm saying that's fair. Did you see Crimson Quarry's tweet about the sleeper agent being activated? The bills come due for the Penix tax, and it was two pictures of DeBoer.
Yeah, that was funny. That gave me a good laugh.
that was very funny.
Here are Oklahoma's wins this year. They beat Temple, Houston, Tulane, Auburn, Maine, and Alabama.
Yeah, can you speak more to their quality losses?
They have tons of quality losses. They lost to Tennessee by 10. They lost to Texas by 30. They lost to South Carolina by 25. They lost to Ole
Miss. Wait, you're telling me this is a playoff team?
Yeah, they lost to Ole Miss by 12. And they lost to Missouri by 7.
Wait, Oklahoma's pushing for a bye?
They can sneak in. Don't sleep on Oklahoma.
I can't believe Oklahoma's pushing for a bye and nobody's talking about this. That is crazy.
Yeah, and then Ole Miss goes on the road to a Florida team that lost to Miami, who a lot of people call suspect, especially SEC people call suspect, by 40. And they go on to lose to Florida.
Florida might be
And they're
good.
Trending up. Like, I'm not going to get take away, like, Oklahoma, bad team. Florida, trending up. Billy Napier's really figuring things out. They came in having the toughest schedule in the country. And now they're 6-5 after a win over Ole Miss. Still a bad loss. Like, playoff teams should be able to take care of business when they need to take care of business.
Yeah, I mean, the teams get better than Florida.
Surprisingly enough. As good as Florida has been, like, are you telling me that that team for sure is going to beat Michigan on neutral field? I'm not convinced.
I'd like to see that game.
That would be an awesome bowl game.
That's not a bad game at all. What bowl game would that be? Could that be? No, you can't give Florida a Citrus Bowl like that. You can't.
Mayo Bowl.
No, that game's got to be played in, like, Texas or something.
Texas Bowl. I don't know, like, what the – so, I guess with the bowl ties, they're going by historical conferences.
Affiliation.
Since they're so lopsided.
Team, like, Pac-12 affiliations are still in play for a lot
of
conferences.
I don't think there should be any, like, conference ties unless it's with a group of fives. I think bowl games should just invite teams. Just invite them. See who you can get. See what matchup you can get.
Yeah, but then, like, nah, because then there's going to be, like, who do you say no to? And then you start embarrassing people. And it's like, eh. I kind of like how they have it.
Okay, yeah. I wouldn't want to be the one. Safeguards are good when it comes to that stuff.
I'm not saying if I was starting the system from scratch, that's how I would do it. But I do appreciate why it is how it is. But yeah, Michigan Florida would be an awesome matchup for a bowl game. Maybe that could be the Music Bowl.
Ooh, yeah, that'd be fun.
The Music City Bowl, whatever the Nashville one's called, that would be really fun.
It's called something else now, but
you're welcome, Michigan and Florida. That would be a really fun travel destination for both those fan bases.
Yeah, and if that happens, you're welcome.
Yeah. You heard it here first.
And then on the other side, an Auburn team that lost to Cal was able to, you know, get a 4-OT dub over Texas A&M.
Shout out to Cal and their quarterback, who is Alberto Mendoza's older brother.
Yeah, they themselves had a big comeback win over their rival, Stanford, which in the Axe game, the big game is what they call it, for those that don't know.
Stanford better than Louisville, as we learned last week.
Yeah. Pretty big win. So maybe Cal's better than a lot of people thought, but they did start 0-5 in the ACC, and Auburn lost to that team. They were able to take down a playoff contender in Texas A&M, who's still in the running for a playoff bye. They beat Texas and Georgia. So we'll see how that goes.
Which, like, isn't impossible. I like the fact, I do like that Texas A&M used oil money to buy Purdue's best player. I think that's funny.
I do like that. But yeah, but it basically sets up, you know, there's now a lot more three-loss SEC teams than, you know, people originally thinking. And it comes back to the idea that, like, you know, if you're a playoff team, take care of your 5-5 conference foe. Like, I don't want to hear it.
Yeah, just, like, beat. Yeah, just win the games. Yeah,
are you telling me and Illinois couldn't?
It doesn't matter.
Let's name a 6-6 team in Washington. Washington versus Auburn. Considering the Cal result, I'm very confident Washington's able to take care of Auburn. Very confident.
I think UCLA Washington's could probably not beat bad. Auburn. I would be like, like, Washington is a scary team to play because that's just a team that's going to get better as they like continue to learn that system. I would not want to be playing Washington as the year goes on.
Not at all. And Oregon has them next week, by the way.
Trap game.
They already clinched, too. Wouldn't be the worst idea to throw your money on that for Washington.
I'm not telling you Washington's going to win, but that's like a classic overlook spot.
Points. Give me the points. And we'll talk a little national scene before we, you know, go into our little playoff discussion here. ASU was able to win that shit show against BYU where they stormed the field with 1 second left. Talk about looking like a bunch of idiots on national television with ASU. Like, I love Kenny Dillingham, but man, he's got to deal with some absolute delinquents as a fan base. It's pretty insane how dumb those.
Well, listen, unless you're talking about the law school, it's not exactly the most intelligent bunch over there in either of those Arizona schools. But, you know, they do their thing. It's okay.
Yeah. And by the way, like, don't look now, but Oregon in the Big Ten title game, Colorado and Arizona State at the top of the Big 12, Pac-12 doing its thing still. Cal beating Auburn. Pac-12, what could have been? Why do we have to break up that conference? Deepest conference year in and year out.
No, it's not. It's coming back. It's not even gone. Until he just took a year off. But,
like,
It's back and it got better, actually, I would argue.
Shut up. Stop it. Stop it.
No, it got stronger.
Pac-12 is Cal versus Arizona at 10:30 Eastern time. Like, that's the Pac-12.
No, the Pac-12 is going to be Boise State versus
Washington State.
Oregon State. Fuck you.
Yeah. Oregon State winning the Pac-12 title and on a game-winning field goal. A lot of people, you know, including myself, had Washington State winning that game by a landslide. And, you know, the good old-fashioned Pac-12 rivalry, you know, deep conference. You never know. You never know with that league.
You never know in conference play. Especially in a deep conference like the Pac-12.
Speaking of deep Pac-12 teams, Colorado did not do their thing. Losing to Kansas, probably one of the hottest teams in the country right now.
Is Kansas good?
Yes, Kansas is good. We knew they were good. They've had a pretty unlucky year, and that's kind of why they're 5-6. Best 5-6 team I've seen in a long time.
I heard somebody say Kansas wasn't good at being expected to. It was like something along the lines like Kansas isn't good at being expected to be good, but they're great at being the underdog. And I was like, I don't know if it's quite that simple.
But it does seem that way. But
I guess that narrative kind of plays. Like, I was like, ah, that's a stupid take. But it's like, ah, it's kind of what's happening.
Yeah, besides that, nothing really of note nationally. Arkansas struggles against Louisiana State.
That's shocker.
Early. They started slow. Georgia started slow against UMass. Thank God Tennessee took care of business against UTEP, or else we will be. Whew. Soft Eastern Conference, man. You guys give me a headache.
It's okay. They're just a bunch of softies.
Yeah, let's kind of talk about, like, okay, we've been alluding to this, you know, playoff talk. You know, we should probably start getting into it.
Well, I think for, and I guess not even for argument's sake, it's just based on facts. Indiana, well, no, you're telling me they're not eliminated, so they could still be the one seed. So I don't want to go ahead and predict what seed teams are going to be, but what do you want to do? Because I wouldn't mind like kind of picking the 12 teams that are going to be in.
Yeah, let's kind of break down what we're thinking here. All right, that's like the feel. We don't have to like draw out what the seeds are gonna be, but like what is the field? Because that's what matters at the end of the day. Just what does the 12-team field look like? For the Big Four, Big Ten teams that we've been talking about for the past, basically since September, we already knew what Big Ten teams were gonna be in it at the end. Those Big Four, they're in. They're in. As long
For
as they
sure.
take care of business, Penn State beats Michigan State, Ohio State beats Michigan, Indiana beats Purdue. Even if Oregon loses to Washington, they're all in. Right, we're on the same page. That's four. We're at four for the field. SEC. Right now, my locks are Georgia, Tennessee, Texas. Everyone else is kind of is on the bubble.
So now we're at
Now we're
seven.
at seven. Boise State. They're in.
You think
As
they're
long
a
as they win
lock?
out. If they win out, they're in. Over the
I
American
agree.
champion, which will likely be Tulane. And then now we're at eight. We're at eight. I got four, eight fingers up. Big 12 champ, that's a shit show. There's four teams in the running for that. Right now in the driver's seat, we have Iowa State and Arizona State in the driver's seat. So if those two teams
Can
win,
Colorado make it?
Colorado to get in needs, and Iowa State needs two of the three teams to lose. BYU, Iowa State, and Arizona State. They need two of those three to lose, and
I
they
want
need to win.
Indiana to play them so badly. I wish Indiana could match up with them.
It'll be tough. They'd probably have to get the 5 seed because that Big 12 champ is likely going to be the 4 or the 12 seed.
How could they be the 12?
Because if Boise State is ranked above the highest ranked Big 12 champ, which we'll find out a little more on that when we do our preview of the game and the new CFP rankings are out, but we'll kind of see where that stands, but there is a possibility the Big 12 champ is the 12 seed.
That'd be hilarious.
So now we're at nine, right? Four Big 12, I mean, four Big 10, three SEC locks right now. Boise State, Big 12 champ. We're at nine. Three spots left. ACC champ in 10.
Probably Clemson.
Right now, SMU's in. If Miami takes care of business this weekend, they are also in, and Clemson is out of the ACC title game.
Probably one big league, right?
Potentially, because we're at 10. There's two spots left, and all the conference champions have been accounted for. So now we're talking for those who are getting those last two spots. ACC runner-up. Clemson meets South Carolina, Miami wins. Are we talking three bid at ACC? Probably not.
I would agree with that statement. Probably not.
What about margin of victory for Clemson in that South Carolina win? What if they win by 50?
I'm not a Clemson believer. Not that I think they're bad. It's just like, if you're gonna do like, okay, Clemson versus like Alabama.
In terms of who's getting the, because we're still at two, so like one of those three loss SEC teams does have a path. It could be, because Texas is a lock, so like let's say Texas A&M wins the Texas game, So they're in the SEC championship. That basically locks them in our theory. Mm-hmm. That locks them into the playoff. Even with their loss.
I don't think that's an unrealistic scenario.
We forgot one. If Notre Dame beats USC next week.
Forgetting somebody. Oh, Notre Dame's
then
in.
We're talking Notre Dame. Now there's one spot, and it really comes down to, is it going to be the three-loss SEC team or the ACC runner-up? So it actually is that simple. It actually is. As long as everything – obviously, we're kind of talking ahead of it. Rivalry can get crazy. Notre Dame could lose to SC and knock them out. That can happen. USC's a damn good team. They beat LSU this year. Jane Maiava. If Notre Dame loses to SC, they're out. Is that a... So Notre Dame's not necessarily a lock.
No, I don't think so. I think they're probably a lock. Two loss Notre Dame's probably a lock. They're probably the 12 seed. Especially when you're going to go two loss Notre Dame, three loss SEC.
So then it just comes down to ACC runner-up or three-loss SEC team, and as us knowing, as we've alluded to multiple times, the CFP, ESPN, SEC being in bed together, it's probably going to go to that three-loss SEC team, and then it's going to leave an ACC runner-up out. It's going to leave the rest of the SEC three-loss teams out. Who is that three-loss SEC team going to be?
You really think the Big 12 is a one-bid league?
Yes, 100%. The ACC is the only one that has a chance.
Oh, so why can't Illinois sneak in?
They're one-loss teams right now. Is Clemson at two losses right now?
Does Jacksonville State... Yeah, I do believe Clemson is at two losses. No. Yes. Yeah, they're 9-2. You can't put Clemson in over SMU or Miami. So Clemson's probably out.
Regardless of what happened in South Carolina.
Colorado's got a path.
Yes, they do. They need three team. They need two teams to lose, and then they gotta win the Big 12 championship game against likely Arizona State.
If South Carolina shellacks Clemson,
are they in?
Like, makes it look good. They could be that fifth team.
Let's break it down. Compare their losses are Bama, Ole Miss, LSU. No real bad losses. Big wins would be A&M, Clemson. About it. But like if
Georgia's
the kicker. Like if we talk about Georgia, Tennessee, and Texas being locks, if A&M wins that Texas game, that basically shores up that last 12 spot that we're kind of alluding to right now. So it could be as simple as A&M just needs to beat Texas and then kind of the field's set. One bid ACC, one bid Group of Five, Notre Dame, one bid Big 12, and then four SEC, four Big Ten. That seems to make the most sense to me.
Yeah, it gets thrown on its head with a Notre Dame loss.
And it gets a little uncomfortable with a Texas A&M over Texas win. Because A&M loses that game, they're out. But if they win, they might be a lock.
Correct.
Just because they're in the...
No, if they win, they are a lock. The two teams playing for the SEC Conference Championship, just like the two teams playing for the Big Ten Conference Championship,
are in.
Those four teams are locks.
Agreed.
Unless they get beat so bad and lose in such a way that's like they can't even show up in 4 weeks to play the playoff game? Like,
I agree. And
it's going to be interesting.
Also, it's only a 2 week gap. Those first round games are going to be on December 16th and the 17th, 15th,
ooh,
something like that. And then they get 2 weeks off, quarterfinals, and then a week off, semis. No, 10 days, semis, 10 days, championship. That's how it goes.
That's crazy.
Yeah. It's a cool format. I like it. Yeah, that kind of breaks it down. Like, any other thoughts in terms of that? Like,
on the offs?
On the offs.
I didn't expect to feel any different, but it is nice kind of knowing that, quote unquote, like, the worst happened, where, like, you look at the score and it's like, ah, shit. Like, and if you go box score watching in that football game to bring back Ohio State, Indiana, you're like, damn, like, the worst happened. But if you watch that football game, and Ari Wasserman was swinging the sword on Twitter, which I thought was really funny. Shout out to Ari Wasserman. He was going to battle. But, like, Indiana didn't really get dominated in that game. In fact, they more so solidified that they deserved to be there. Not only that, deserved to have the shot to do it again. So, yeah, they lost. But, like, I don't think, like, the reaction coming out of it wasn't as negative as I thought it was going to be. Like, the rational people, the rational heads, not the people trying to grab views, but the people actually just watching and observing, came away thinking Indiana was a playoff team. And that's all we can ask for, because that ultimately is the goal. Like, yeah, I wrote a piece for Hoosier Huddle about, like, beating Ohio State and what that would mean, and kind of, like, building that moment up, and how this wasn't about the playoff, it was about that game. And, yeah, that was true for last week, because that was that game. But now this week it's on to Purdue. So, yeah, Indiana's playoff hopes are fine. And I think that's the most important thing.
There is a world where only one SEC team gets in. For what it's worth, ESPN's little playoff predictor.
What world is that?
I'm just, let me finish the point. ESPN's playoff predictor, I've been playing around with it for the past like 5 minutes or so as I've been conversing with you. Right now, it's the 11th team is SMU with a 63% chance, because Miami's also in at 80. So it's also kind of, so then that 12th spot would go to the Big 12 champ, because Alabama is at a 37% chance with, you know, that three-loss SEC team. That seems to be what the ESPN analytics thinks would be that three-loss playoff team. They actually have A&M very, very low right now. Let me just run. But, yeah, my point is that the analytics at ESPN are leaning ACC runner-up to get in. Because even with an SMU loss in the ACC title game, they're at a 44% chance.
That's a front. The analytics are playing tricks on us. I don't believe them.
Yeah, and these analytics are dumb, because I just ran it where A&M goes to the SEC title game and loses. They're at a less than 1% chance to make the playoff.
Which makes no sense. I think they're just factoring in those losses against the schedule to count the same as a loss in the regular season. When in fact, that, like, me and you are both on the same page about this. It's like, you make your conference championship, like, you proved you were one of the two best teams in your conference that year. You made
based
it that
on the
far.
Rules.
You played in a
based
game.
Based on the rules of the league.
Yeah, the season dictated you deserve to play in that game, and then you played in that game. So regardless of the result of that game, you were one of the two best teams in your conference. And if you're going to say your conference is the best conference, how are you going to leave a team that played for that championship out? Doesn't make any sense. So, yeah, you can't – those metrics, like – I'm sure the math's somewhere on the back end there, or else they wouldn't stick it on their website and put their label on it. But I wouldn't be like married to the what those numbers say, because where are they getting those numbers from? How do you know Alabama, like Alabama, 37% chance that the dude in the third seat at the SEC table argues hard enough for Alabama that the rest of the playoff committee like listens to that? Like, what does that even mean? How do you put a percentage on a conversation taking place that dictates rankings?
It's all gonna simplify itself when Texas does beat A&M. We'll see.
Well, yeah, the problem is, like, teams keep losing games they shouldn't lose, so you can't eliminate teams. It just keeps opening the door for more teams. Like, if the SEC just did what it was supposed to do and eliminated a bunch of teams, they'd probably have five or six teams in and nobody could say shit, and then it'd be like, oh, blah, blah, blah. But no, they went ahead and they lost a bunch of games, so it's like, now here we are.
Yeah, what's great about this whole thing is that,
They opened the door.
yeah, people are talking about how there are, teams like how the 12-team playoff eliminate is making the regular season worse. Right now, they're saying there's 23 teams in the running for their 12 in the playoff right now. Obviously, I would say UNLV,
I
Army.
believe it.
They're out. I mean, if UNLV beats Boise State, I don't think they'll be in. We'll see. They'll have a shot, but that really just more so opens up the door for like a Tulane to get in, things like that. But yeah, I think if A&M beats Texas, they're in. And that's just based on the rules of the SEC, that they'll be in that t title game.
How do we feel about the two loss Louisiana Raging Cajuns?
No, they're out. They're out. I had to think about that, but they're out.
Notre Dame holds a quality loss to 6-5 Northern Illinois.
Do they?
Big time quality loss. I'm gonna fly the flag for Illinois.
At this point, yeah. But yeah, I think that's just kind of where we're at in terms of, it obviously a lot of things will come clear going into championship week. We'll have a much clearer picture of what's going to happen. Very simple, shorter schedule. We'll know less variables involved. But I think that's where we're at. Like, there's really like one spot left. And as long as, the favorites keep winning. Like, if Notre Dame loses, then there's two spots that open up, but there's really only one spot left if Notre Dame beats USC. That's kind of where we're at.
And that's the exciting part. You can follow Sigs Inside, an Indiana football podcast, on Twitter at Sigs Inside Pod. You can follow Brad at Bradley underscore Loomis 8. You can follow me at Alec Keezer. Check out my current articles on HoosierHuddle.com. I'll have another one coming in the next 24 hours ish. And as always, check out KeySportsNetwork.com. Shout out to the boys, Wave, Nick Skrill, Signar. We do have some things in the works, so we'll keep you guys posted on that. Check out Friends and Collaborators, Instrumental Volume 1 on streaming platforms now. The intro song, 1621. The outro song, The Sweet Sound of Butter Symphony. It's going to be okay, Hoosier fans. I think it's important to remember we're in good
We're in,
hands.
guys. We're in. Take a deep
And we're
breath.
in the playoff.
Just get excited. And one last note. We're gonna say it again next week, but show up for senior day. Get there early. Show the support. The seniors on this team, there's a lot of them, and they deserve a ton of recognition for what they've done for this program this year. And we'll reemphasize that later.
Couldn't have said it better.
See you guys. We're in. Get locked in. We're going to the playoffs.
In for Indiana, baby.